98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bigley Blast.
Unless you are DeAndre Hopkins or J.J. Watt, beating the Houston Texans is no big deal. Everybody does it, right? This was nothing but a get-through-to-get-to kind of game, one that sets the stage for a massive showdown with the Packers. But there are a few things worth noting. Number one, Cliff Kingsbury is having a pretty good year, but he was all over the map on Sunday, and he needs to stop using Kyler Murray on designed running plays. Look at how many quarterbacks are hurt in the NFL. Look at how many weapons Kingsbury has outside of Murray, and look at how Murray was still in the game late yesterday, operating from the shotgun, which has been quite an adventure without Rodney Hudson. The head coach earned a game ball on Sunday from owner Michael Bidwill, but he has to do a better job of protecting his quarterback. Meanwhile, there are zero concerns with the defense that was supposedly vulnerable, especially with Isaiah Simmons and Marcus Golden rolling hot, and there are sudden concerns with the offensive line that couldn't protect Murray, even though he took the whole group out to dinner last Thursday. But the best thing I saw on Sunday was the team's reaction to Zach Ertz's first touchdown in Arizona. They all spilled out onto the field to celebrate with him, and it's yet another sign of just how close this team is. Just like the Suns last season, no one could have predicted this kind of synergy and chemistry, but you can't replace it, and you can't miss it, and it's going to take this football team a very long way. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
I run through a wall for a coach because I love playing for guys like that. That's the type of guy I am.
It's Marcus Golden yesterday. He was asked about the return of Cliff Kingsbury, and he talked about the juice that Cliff Kingsbury brings. Talked about him being their unequivocal leader, run through the wall for him. It wasn't the most complete, impressive performance. There was obviously a weirdness to everything that was going on yesterday. And Cliff Kingsbury, again, to his credit, was pretty honest about it. And
he generally is. About his shortcomings, he's very, very forthcoming.
He is. And he said, look, it felt funky. I couldn't get into a rhythm. Felt weird when you're preparing remotely and then all of a sudden you show up in the building the day of the game. Hey, everybody.
Right.
What's going on? Kyler Murray, interestingly enough, was asked about that too. Did he feel the same disconnect? And Murray did not.
Our job is to go out there and execute what's called, you know. I'm sure it probably did just because, you know, you miss a week. You know, it's not like he was in the building, you know, around the players and all that stuff type of stuff. It's like missing a week of practice and being at home, you know. It's a little different. So I'm sure he probably felt a little bit off, but we put up, 31 today. Defense played great. It was a great, great team win. So for us to, you know, for him to feel awkward or whatever, and then we still put up 31, it's a good job by us. We got to keep it going because, the Packers are coming in. It's a great team. So
yeah, I think that's right on. I think Cliff Kingsbury probably did feel weird, and Kyler Murray shouldn't have felt weird.
He was Kyler Murray was asked how excited he was when he heard that Cliff was coming back, and he was like, "Well, I didn't throw a party or anything like that." It was really funny stuff. I said this before. I do think that there's a lot that has yet to, that Cliff still has to prove. He has to prove that his offense can stay fresh and ahead of the game, and he's got to prove he can close out seasons and manage big plays and end game situations better, all that stuff. That's all in front of him, and he's got to do that and finish the job. But I will say this, the Cardinals on fourth down conversions, they're 5 for 5. So not only are they picking, and I don't know if they've all been clean conversions or if some have been of the scrambling helter-skelter variety.
The chains move just the same.
Yes, they do.
You don't have to pick apart the style of it.
Right. But I am here to say this. Cliff Kingsbury is partly responsible for this incredible team chemistry they have. And it's further confirmation to me that I think a coach like Cliff, who is all about democracy, all about treating players like men, doesn't jump all over guys. Coaches like that are going to struggle if your team isn't doing good, in my opinion, because that's when you need the kick in the backside. That's when you need the authoritarian. But when things are going well and you've got a locker room full of self-starter kind of guys, it's perfect. So I give Steve Keim a lot of credit for recognizing that and diagnosing that and bringing in the right kind of guys to supplement Cliff Kingsbury's very unique brand of leadership. Okay? And because now that it's working, players really appreciate the fact that coach is chill. And this really, truly is a great vibe. You've seen it any number of times. The way they reacted to Max Williams' injury, never seen that before. The way they reacted to Zach Ertz yesterday. Generally, football teams, there's a little bit of jealousy involved. And a new guy comes in, and he's all that, and he scores a touchdown. Not everyone's going to be happy for him, because on a lot of teams, there's a weird blend of agendas. Not here, and not with the Suns last year. And that, to me, is incredibly encouraging. Buda Baker goes down with an injury early in the game. Mm-hmm. Really ugly-looking injury. He's back in a matter of minutes. Kyler Murray shrugging off all that violent and all the violence and all the contact and all the hits, kept it going. These guys are playing for each other. And, man, is that it's a powerful thing to watch when you got it, Vinny.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of Max Williams, did you see his tweet yesterday?
Oh, brilliant.
Tweet of the weekend, by the way. Max Williams tweeted out a picture of himself wearing his cleats, his black Cardinals jersey, and his helmet, holding a football, sitting on the couch with his right leg extended, the leg he had repaired by surgery. Might not be playing, but locked in for today. 1-0 mentality. Hashtag bird gang. Hashtag superfan. Hashtag ball is life. That's part of that whole vibe they have going on right now.
You hope when you put a room together that you understand the dynamics and that you give yourself a chance to get great chemistry, you never can quite plan for it. It's purely organic.
It's organic, and there's an element of luck involved, too.
Oh, yeah. You're not kidding about
that. How many teams over the course of the history of the NFL have gone down that road and brought in a bunch of veterans, respected veterans from other organizations, and the blend isn't there because the winning wasn't there from step one? I mean, the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles were the team that everybody will point to when they kept just signing everyone, and they thought, oh, we're a super team, and somebody had the guts to put it out there, Vince Young. It didn't work out very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element to luck of luck. There's certainly an organic feel to it, but the winning is a big part of it.
Yeah. But we've also seen it with Jordan Hicks and his ability to put down his disappointment and go back and win what was rightfully his. We've seen it with Chandler Jones, who has been, you know, is still stuck on that sack figure for quite some time now. And then, you know, when he gets back, I'm sure he'll be into playing football because they've got something special. They've got a shot at the ring. They all know it. And they're playing for each other. Good stuff.
Yep. Win tickets to the biggest game in Thursday night football history. Just text RED to 620-620. Just the word RED, 620-620. Listen for your name during the 9 a.m. hour and coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Packers. That's RED to 620-620. Coming up next, you mentioned it in the blast, Bick, but welcome to Arizona, Zach Ertz. Let's see that touchdown dance. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Marotta.
First down on the 47. Drops back to throw. Lobs it. Far side. Ertz with the catch at the 30. Loose at the 20. Far side 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Zach Ertz. 47 yards. Becomes the first player ever to have touchdown catches in consecutive games for two different teams. The newest member of the Cardinals may have just put this one out of reach. 23-5.
Oh, my goodness. He ran the crossover route. They cleared it out. The number one receiver on the opposite side of the field, A.J. Green, ran down the field. And then all of a sudden, you had Zach Ertz coming across.
Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley on the call on the Cardinals Radio Network. First game for Zach Ertz. Immediate dividends. He had a catch real early in the game. I think the second completion of the game went to Zach Ertz, where he made a great one-handed catch and an adjustment.
Yeah.
I tweeted this out yesterday, Bick, and I fully believe this, and I got some blowback on it. Zach Ertz is the best pass-catching tight end the Arizona Cardinals have had since they moved here.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah, I think tight end in general is the best they've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just always been a position of weakness, and I think it's fascinating because Zach Ertz is an incredible route runner. He knows how to exploit seams in the defense. He's where he's supposed to be. I think he's going to make a lot of impact offensively. The one thing that does bear watching is we've talked conceptually about, okay, Max Williams, part of the reason why this offense really took flight earlier this year was they had a two-way tight end, a guy who could be physical and run block and pass protect, but then he could also get off the line of scrimmage and make plays downfield. There were times last year when you wondered that about Max Williams. Remember that infamous touchdown pass, wide open touchdown pass he dropped? Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
So when Zach Ertz was signed, Wolf was one who wondered about this. I was one who wondered about this, that even though you're adding a great weapon to stretch and enhance the passing game, will it have a negative effect on the running game? And Wolf, through his reconnaissance, was told, look, Zach Ertz is not a great blocker, but he's a willing blocker. He doesn't shy away from it. And so that's good. But in watching and talking to Zach Ertz after the game yesterday, physically, he's more athletic than wide, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that bears watching. I agree with you. I don't think that he really had much to do with anything with the run game struggles. I think Josh Jones had a real bad day and got abused, and he owned it on social media afterwards. And I think Max Garcia at center is causing some issues. And, you know, he's trying the best he can, but the snap in the shotgun issue, it's something. And something to the point where you might want to get Kyler Murray under center a little more often against the Packers.
Well, they haven't shown the propensity to do that. Yesterday, I saw your tweet, and a lot of people were wondering about it with the game in hand. Why was Kyler Murray out there for that series? After they went up 31-5, why was he out there for that series in the fourth quarter? And my initial reaction was, big deal. It's just handoffs. But every single snap in that possession was a shotgun snap. And if they're going to be scattershot all over the place, and Kyler Murray, like he's had to do the last 2 weeks, is going to have to scramble to recover those errant snaps, you're putting him in harm's way. I don't know if we'll see that adjustment with Kyler Murray under center, or if it's just a matter of Max Garcia getting more adept at the shotgun snap. He's played guard mostly in his career, so you know, center might be an adjustment. The running game, but you know, Zach Ertz or not, when you look at what Chase Edmonds and James Conner did yesterday, 25 carries combined for 145 yards, and it wasn't 145 yards bolstered by a gigantic run from either one of them. The longest run was James Conner's 18-yard touchdown run. Chase Edmonds had a 16-yard run. When you have that production and you look at that fact that the one single long run was missing,
yeah,
that was a relentless dare-to-stop-you kind of effort by the Cardinals running game. I love what I'm seeing from the Cardinals running game right now. Again, grain of salt, because it's the Texans. But again, how many times have we seen them get the lead and just run out the clock in the fourth quarter? They've done that very effectively.
And James Conner has given them some tough running, which is something that they, I think, really needed. I'm glad you brought that point up, because there were a lot of people who were lashing out at me and others who were suggesting how silly it was to have Kyler Murray in the game at that point in time. Like, all he's doing is handing off. What you just said is exactly why it was kind of foolish, because those snaps from Max Garcia, you didn't know where they were going sometimes. And on those plays, Kyler Murray's absorbing hits. You don't need that.
Even if it's just somebody landing on him, you don't need it.
No, you just don't need that at that point in time. But other than that, the physicality of this football team, it's something that I'm really, really grateful to see, particularly defensively. It was such a fundamental weakness in years past, and now they got guys who are lighting other people up.
Isn't it amazing, last year when Chandler Jones went out, all of a sudden Gardeck the Barbarian came in and stepped right in. This year when Chandler Jones went out, all of a sudden Marcus Golden looks like a Pro Bowl player. It's amazing how Vance Joseph is able to dial up these schemes, these blitzing things, to sort of make up for the lack of, you know, the all-star player.
Well, I think that was more the case last year. I think Marcus Golden's success has just been
stepping up.
he's winning his one-on-one matchups, he's beating guys off the edge.
J.J. Watt being there?
That certainly helps. J.J. Watt blew up a handful of plays yesterday, too. Mm-hmm. Marcus Golden now, 4 sacks in the last 2 weeks. He's got 6. Leads the team.
Hunting, I'm always hunting. That's just me. I've been doing that since I got in the NFL. I've been hunting. I'm always hunting. Same thing I do in practice every day, working hard and just paying off. And I always give credit to my teammates and coaches, man, because I'm not out there by myself. You got to have coverage to get sacks. You got to have some good plays called up. And then I'm going to make sure I do my part. I'm going to make sure I do my part no matter what. I do my part every day, and it's paying off on game day. So I'm going to keep on going.
Yeah, I had another strip sack yesterday. Here was Golden on that.
Yeah, I read it pretty good, man. I felt the tackle. I knew he was going to slide down because his eyes was looking inside. And once he went down, the tight end was coming back, but he wasn't coming as fast as he usually come when it's a run play. So I knew I could get him in the inside with an inside step, and the quarterback was right there. And, of course, if I get to the quarterback, I'm trying to get that ball out. So we was able to get the ball out, and then I was able to recover it too. So that's a special one, man, when you get the sack and get the recovery. So I felt good about their play, and like you said, it got the offense back the ball.
Yeah, he's just been relentless the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And again, in the absence of Chandler Jones, you'd much rather have him out there. Now, Chandler Jones was cleared from COVID-19 protocols in time to play, and there seemed to be some sort of debate with Chandler Jones. Jay Glazer went on Fox yesterday and reported that Chandler Jones wasn't playing because he lost 15 pounds during COVID. And then Chuck Harris retweeted basically exactly what Jay Glazer said. And Chandler Jones responded, false report. And Jay Glazer actually chimed in and said, I don't know why he's denying this. This is absolutely true. It was very strange.
Well, to lose 15 pounds means, at least suggests, you were really symptomatic.
Yes.
Right.
Or else you just didn't eat.
That would kind of explain it. You need a level of strength and energy.
Bottom line is he's trending, and Cliff Kingsbury did, he used light language, but trending toward playing on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jones. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, ASU did not play over the weekend. They had their bye week, but they had the best week of any team in the Pac-12 South. We'll talk to their head coach, Herm Edwards, about it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Santan Ford Sun Devil Blitz with head coach Herm Edwards. The Sun Devil Blitz is presented in part by Gila River Hotels and Casinos. Gila River bleeds maroon and gold and is Arizona's official sports headquarters. And Santan Ford, Val Vista and the Santan 202 in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
That Sun Devil's back from their bye week. They get Washington State at home on Saturday, and here to talk Sun Devil football with us is their head coach, Herm Edwards, here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing?
Good. With the bye week, we didn't get a chance to talk to you after the game in Salt Lake City. Obviously a rough second half, not the result you were looking for, but all things considered after that, would you say that the bye week fell at a good time for you and your team?
Well, anytime you lose, and you can kind of revisit a lot of things that went wrong in going forward, what you're trying to accomplish, I think it helps you. As you stated, we had a bad second half, and you got to give Utah a lot of credit. First half, we had quieted the crowd up there. In the second half, we had no answer for them on either side of the ball. We couldn't play complementary football, and they took advantage of that and won.
The fact of the matter is you guys, you've had a couple of very disappointing losses, but you've also looked very dangerous outside the state of Utah. With all your experience, how do you as a head coach keep a football team focused on what's ahead of you and not what's behind you?
Well, I think you always got to, you're always working ahead. I mean, you never get anything back. I think you learn valuable lessons when you lose and also when you win. But I just think our football team realizes that, you know, you got to finish the game, and you're right. The state of Utah has not been kind to us,
mm-hmm.
but that's a fact. And I think going forward, we're a 5-2 football team. We know there's a lot of season left, and as you can look at this conference, whether you're in the South or the North, if you have 3 or 4 wins in your conference, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and know that every week is going to be a battle.
Herm Edwards, the head coach of Arizona State, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Going back to that second half, it was a frustrating loss in Utah. But, you know, as you got further from that game and looked at the film and kind of soaked it all in, what irked you the most about that second half, Herm?
Well, there was no complimentary football. I mean, we couldn't slow them down defensively. We couldn't make any stops. And offensively, we couldn't mount any drives. I mean, that was the bottom line. We couldn't get out of third down. I mean, if you look at the stats, look at our team the first half on offense and defense, played pretty good. Second half, only offensively had 7 first downs, only 17 yards rushing. In the first half, we had 131 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. So all these things became a part of it. Defensively, first half, we held them to 7 first downs. Second half, 19 first downs. They only had 63 yards rushing the first half. In the second half, they had 145. So, you know, all those things added to the loss.
One of the things that I think is interesting, and I know Doug Heller made a point of this, that one of the things when it comes to disappointments with the program, it's important to understand that this goes on well before you. It's been a long time since this program's been back in the Rose Bowl. So in some ways, these disappointments, you're paying for 20 years worth of disappointments when they're not all your fault. How do you manage that element of it?
Well, all you can control is what we do in the building, and we understand that. Look, fans are they have great fans here, and you're right, 20 years since the Rose Bowl. I get it. Look, I play pro football. I can remember in Philadelphia when I got there in 1977, the last time we went to the championship game was in 1960, right? And we ended up going to the Super Bowl in 80. So I get it, and we understand it. That's just part of it. All you can do is control what you can control, and that's our players and our attitude and how we play. We're 5-2. We still have a chance to accomplish a lot of good things this season. We're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, so we got to keep playing. But I think the key is we got to win.
Yeah,
you got to win games.
Herm Edwards, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You know, with the bye week, it was an interesting week in the Pac-12, no doubt about it, because the North and Notre Dame and BYU helped you out a lot. All the five South schools that played all lost. What does that do, if anything, Herm, to re-energize your team for this stretch run?
Well, I think our team knew very well that, first of all, no team has gone undefeated in conference play since the existence of the Pac-12, and you knew some teams were going to lose. You look at the schedules. And look, every game, there's no layups, you know, in this conference. You think, well, I'm going to play this team. It doesn't matter who you play. You know, we're playing Washington State. When you look at their record, they're 4-4. They're 3-2 in conference play. So, you know, the best team in conference play in the North is Oregon. They're 3-1. So
Yeah. There's
a lot of things to play for everyone when you have 3 or 4 wins in conference. And so you got to realize that.
Yeah, and there's certainly an opportunity, as my partner said here, to kind of get where you want to go. What do you need from Jaden Daniels on the rest of the season to get there, Herm?
Well, you know, he's the quarterback, and obviously you go as the quarterback goes. And I just think, you know, the passing game obviously is important because that's how you make explosive plays. His ability to make some unannounced plays with his legs is always important. But I think a balance in our offense. When we can run the football fairly well, our passing attack becomes very difficult to deal with, and I think we got to get back to that balance of doing both.
Herm Edwards, our guest, as he is every Monday during football season here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Washington State coming up on Saturday, dangerous team as you alluded to. When you look at them, especially on the offensive side of the ball, Coach, what do you see? What concerns you about what the Cougars can do?
We got a strong arm quarterback, can make the unscheduled play with his legs, and they touch all the grass with the ball as far as throwing it. Now, they're running the ball a little bit more than they were previously. They did a nice job last week of running the football. Didn't win, but they did a nice job of running it. So the last time we played them here 2 years ago, as you guys remember, it was a 34-31 game. It went back and forth. Both offenses scored. Their offense is deadly, has some really good receivers. Have some good running backs. Their defense is very active. They have a really good secondary. They play a lot of press coverage. They're physical guys. They're very athletic. So, as I said, they're a 4-4 football team.
I know you guys are coaching up these kids. Why has the penalty situation not gone away entirely?
Well, it's something that keeps rearing its head. And when you lose two games the way we lost them, penalties were involved in them. And as you know, it either delays your offense and sets your offense back, or on defense, it gives people extra opportunities. And we got to do, you know, they have to understand they can't let that be a part of their play. I mean, you're going to have some penalties, but you want four or five at the most. When you get past that number and you're playing teams that are equally as talented as you, you give them an advantage.
Yeah. From a health standpoint, Herm, the bye week obviously helps. In terms of guys you might get back, Chase Lucas, Johnny Wilson, would they be expected to play maybe on Saturday?
We anticipate they will be ready to play, and that's what's good. A lot of our guys were banged up a little bit. Now, some guys we've lost for the season, especially with our D-line. We've lost some guys that were good players. But that's what it is in football. You know, you can't worry about the guys you lost. You got to get other guys ready to play, and I think this week was a good week for us. And going this forward, you know, next couple of days, we really got to focus in on Washington State.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about, watching the Sun Devils play football in the daylight, Herm. Finally, you guys get a day game. I know the fans are excited about it, but
will they show up?
Is there an adjustment you have to make after playing so many night games to get ready for a day game?
Well, I think our guys will be excited about it. Last time we played a day, we had two day games last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play a lot of day games around here. But I think our guys are excited about playing in the afternoon. That ought to be a lot of fun, especially if you can. You know what's good about the day games? When you win during the day, if it's early, you got all that Saturday to enjoy it and then watch other teams play that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the fun of it. So you got to win to enjoy that Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah. Herm, best of luck on Saturday against Washington State. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you,
Herm Edwards, head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils. He joins us every Monday morning here during football season. Coming up next, the Cardinals, another big win, 7-0. Their defense is shining, and one player standing out in year number two. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Code Red.
Did you order the Code Red?
It's a Code Red at the farm. And Bickley and Murata are announcing the winner of another pair of Cards Pack tickets now.
Oh, yeah, we didn't think. We forgot about our 8 o'clock winner, potentially, did you? Attention, Cardinals fans, it's time for our next Code Red qualifier, Kyle Olivares.
Kyle! Hey, Kyle. You had 10 minutes to call.
602-260-9870 to get your tickets to the Cardinals versus Packers game. If Kyle doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to someone else. If you didn't hear your name, you could still win by texting the word red to 620-620 and listen for your name in the 9 a.m. hour. Again, Kyle Olivares from Tempe, starting the clock on you right now. You've got 10 minutes to call, 602-260-9870.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
First and 15 for Houston at the Arizona 43-yard line. Shotgun formation for Mills. Takes the snap. Hands it off. Ingram off the left side, trying to get the edge, and instead it gets pushed out of play by Isaiah Simmons for a loss at the 45-yard line. The Texans want a flag, but it looked like a good, clean play by Isaiah Simmons. Just a little bit violent, but that's okay. Shove him out of bounds and hit him. That's all right.
Isaiah's in a bad mood, David.
A little bit of violence never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I'm joking, of course, but yeah, it stood out. Isaiah Simmons, bad mood, as Wolf put it. You could say that. Team leading 7 tackles yesterday. That tackle for loss had a special teams assisted tackle. Isaiah Simmons, year two, man, world's different from year one. When we were having the weekly discussions of, A, he's not playing, or B, he's playing more but just doesn't impact the game.
Mm-hmm.
He has grown into a very, very impactful player in year two on a very good defense.
Yeah, he's playing so fast now that it's I'm really excited about what the future brings for him. Sideline to sideline, he gets to where he wants to go very quickly, and he delivers some thunder. You know, for a dude who's tall and rangy, he does have a mean streak in him, and I love football players like that.
It also gives anybody who's sort of critical about, boy, they're not getting a lot from Zaven Collins, it's sort of like, all right, be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's a reminder there, because Bick and I had that discussion off the air in a break about Zaven Collins, and he played a good number of snaps yesterday. Just don't notice him much out there. Zaven Collins yesterday did have four tackles. I remember the one play, kind of the violent hit that he had, lowering the shoulder into a Houston ball carrier, but kind of propelled him forward for a first down on that play.
Mm-hmm.
But Isaiah Simmons is really coming into his own. And he credited a lot of it to his defensive coordinator after the game.
I mean, his play calling, he's putting us in the best positions we could be in. Whenever a play is made, it's, you know, maybe a guy losing leverage, eyes in the backfield or something. Like I said, you know, just beating ourselves. So for the most part, you know, he's had a couple of late calls, but, you know, we get on him about that. But other than that, you know, he's been great just with putting us in the right position, just having a great feel for the game.
Yeah, part of the success for Simmons and the rest of the defense is what they've been able to do on third and fourth downs. Yesterday, they hold the Texans to 2-for-13 on third down and another 0-for-2 in fourth down stop. So what is that? 2-for-9 on fourth downs the last 3 weeks against the Cardinals. Here was Simmons talking about the third down efficiency.
Honestly, it all starts on first down. With a team like that, you know, their objective is to get into, you know, second and short to where they could run the ball still, they can throw the ball. So controlling first down, you know, keeping them in second and longs, it makes it easy for us. Because then we can let our pass rushers go, let our covered guys cover, and you know, when the game is like that, I feel like it's in our favor.
Yeah, it's all lining up very, very well for the mm-hmm. Cardinals right now, and Isaiah Simmons is right. Success on first and second down put them behind schedule, especially a team that has as many challenges offensively as the Houston Texans do. They're not a team that's going to be like the Cardinals and convert on third and long on a regular basis. You mentioned it earlier in the show, and it's kind of been a theme with this defense, too, the way the defensive backs want to hit you, whether it's the corners or the safeties.
When I've said repeatedly that the star power on this team, it makes a big difference, because when you play big games, big plays happen. And you need guys who rise and meet those big moments. And I think that's what the story behind the fourth down stops of this defense happened to be. That you kind of drill down and distill football to this, okay, here's one play for possession of this football. The Cardinals shine in those moments because they've got big-time players who can make big plays in big situations. Kurt Warner said that was the key to the 09 Super Bowl run, and I think we're seeing it this year. I think defensively, they've got guys in big moments who come up and do really good things. There were times from 2016 to current when the Cardinals always seem most vulnerable in these situations. Do you remember over the last few years, how often they let teams off the hook on big third downs? It was always the opponent who was converting third downs and long. And we used to always go, oh, man, they'd play two downs of solid defense, and then they'd get gashed for something. You're like, really? And they've completely flipped that. They're now the team offensively that's picking up the third and forevers, and they're not allowing that stuff anymore.
No, it's completely flipped. You're right.
Completely.
Isaiah Simmons also talked about an incident that happened before the game yesterday with Texans receiver Danny Amendola. Now, you may remember Byron Murphy got called for what I believe and other people believe to be a pretty weak taunting call during the game that extended a drive for Houston. It led to a turnover anyway. But Simmons was asked by a reporter about what happened between he and Amendola before the game, and this might have been related to the Byron Murphy taunting call as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just warming up on our 20, and I
just told him I'm warming up there, and he said, so am I, and just let him know he wasn't. There's really nothing to say about it. He has no business warming up on our 20 catching punts. He can go on his side of the field, and it just really is what it is. You know, it's unfortunate that he thinks that that's acceptable, but it ain't.
I love that.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, Danny Amendola then exploded for 3 catches for 17 yards and did a whole lot of chirping during the game, too. He quieted down as the game went on. But, yeah, Isaiah Simmons is another one of those impact players that they've, stepped up their production and what they're doing for this defense. It's been a heck of a lot of fun to watch so far. Mm-hmm. Short week and a big challenge coming up on Thursday with the Green Bay Packers coming in. We get to talk about 2 football games this week. One of those rare weeks. Can't wait as we get closer to that game. Kyle Olivares called in. Kyle's going to the game. Code Red, you'll have another chance to win in the 9 o'clock hour today. Be listening. And if you haven't yet, make sure you text the word red to 620-620 and listen for your name. 7 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour each day up until the game this week here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through a round of social studies. That is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.